Who to believe on the global financial outlook, the doom and gloom merchants or Australia's Reserve Bank? The RBA issued its latest financial stability review today. Despite the instability of recent months, it paints a brighter picture. The Reserve Bank says the domestic economy remains strong and Australia's banks are sound and well capitalised. And while others talk of recession, it argues that a repricing of risk on global credit markets is actually likely to prolong the global economic expansion. World markets, including Australia's, are sharing that optimism, but some fear that a collapse in the value of the US dollar could cause chaos on world markets. Economics correspondent Stephen Long.
To borrow a phrase from John Lennon, these are strange days indeed. A week ago, the world's most powerful central bank slashed interest rates in the US to stave off a possible recession. Today, Australia's stock market closed at a new record high, and Wall Street's on the same trajectory. Yet if government bond traders are right, the US will have to cut rates again in the next 3 months as its economy stalls. And the bond traders have picked six of the last seven recessions. Most peculiar. So who's right?
Stock markets are feeling that the Federal Reserve is going to do whatever it takes to support growth going forward, as was the case under former Federal Reserve Chairman Greenspan. And so they're taking a very optimistic view of things.
Tony Morris, a senior market strategist at ANZ, sides with gloomy bond traders, not the optimistic stock pickers.
So it's going to be unsustainable in the long run. Something's got to win out. I think between people looking at something half full or half empty, I think maybe this is the time where it's more likely that those people looking at it half empty probably have more justification at this point in time.
But there's some heavyweight backing today for those who see the glass half full from no less a source than the Reserve Bank of Australia, which put out its financial stability review today.
Stephen, it oozes reassurance. It's a bit like when there's a report out that there's a certain fault on a certain car and you take your version of that car into the local garage and they give you a very long report telling you how your car's in perfect running order and you needn't worry about it.
Dick Bryan, Associate Professor of Economics at the University of Sydney. And Australia clearly is no lemon. Quite rightly, the Reserve Bank argues Australian banks are sound and well capitalised and the domestic economy is strong, more so than elsewhere.
Well, what's interesting in the report, of course, is that there are quite discrete chapters on the global economy and on the Australian economy. And as you flip the page from one to the other, you go from the world of risk and uncertainty and certain problems that need to be addressed on the analysis of the global situation. And in the context of Australia, it's very much everything is well under control.
So it's as if the implication is Australia is immune from developments in the global economy.
Well, that's very much, I think, the image the Reserve Bank wants to give, and it's an image you'd expect the Reserve Bank to want to give. Because if they actually tell us that things are bad, then, of course, they become bad.
There may be some element of reassuring the markets, but the Reserve Bank has been consistent in its optimism. It says the repricing of risk in global credit markets is welcome and is likely to sustain the long global economic expansion. The question is, for how long?
Well, very simply, it will end in a catastrophe.
Mark Faber is the editor of the Gloom, Boom and Doom report.
We never had in the history of capitalism a global synchronized boom. If you travel around the world, everywhere you go, there are booming conditions. Now, if you look at the last 200 years of financial history, you had investment booms and manias in relatively small sectors of the economy, say, in the US, in canals and railroads, in the 19th century, in some regional real estate market. And then in the 1920s, we had a stock market boom. And in the late 80s, we had a silver, gold, and energy share boom. And in year 2000, we had a boom in tech stocks and in Japan in 89, just in Japanese shares. And each time these bubbles burst, they had an impact, but the impact was largely sectorial or regional and not affecting the whole world. Now we have a bubble everywhere. We have a bubble in real estate prices, we have a bubble in stocks, we have a bubble in art prices, and we have a bubble in commodities.
And the bigger the bubble, the bigger the bang.
Yeah, of course. If someone argues we're in a global synchronized boom, I agree entirely. The consequence will be that the next bust will be a global synchronized bust.
But no one can say when the boom will end, and the difference between the optimists and the pessimists ultimately may end up being a question of timing.
Stephen Long.